May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray that the grace, mercy, and peace of our great and glorious God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will be with you and will abide and rest within you this day and every day. I never want to pass up the opportunity to remind myself and anyone who happens to be in my presence of the wonderful blessing that comes from those great commodities, gifts from our great God. A reminder that it is by the grace of God that we receive those things we do not deserve. God's love is forgiveness, the assurance of eternal life with Him someday in heaven because of His grace. It is in God's mercy that we don't receive those things we do deserve. God's wrath and displeasure, punishment for our sin, both temporally and also eternally. And it is in the receiving of God's grace and mercy that these words have special meaning, at least in my life. That the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, in good times and in bad, in happy times and in sad, in moments of joy and sorrow, of difficulty and blessing. The peace of God that comes alone through His grace and mercy is ours through Christ our Lord. I greet you on behalf of the 6,170 congregations and about 2.4 million baptized members in those congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of the Board of Directors, the Council of Presidents, the 60 corporate entities of our church body, the 2,500 Lutheran day schools, the 104 Lutheran high schools, the 10 colleges, universities, and the 2 seminaries, as well as our 2 wonderful auxiliaries, the Lutheran Women's Missionary League and the International Lutheran Layman's League. And also I greet you on behalf of the 30 partner churches of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod all around the world. This is a wonderful church body, a national church body with international relationships and responsibilities. One more personal word. I'm always happy to return to this campus. It brings back a lot of old memories. Even though I have a degree from this campus, I never set foot on this place before I got that degree. That's a long story. But the happy memories that brings back are times when the Council of Presidents has met on this campus, as we do every other year in the April time frame of that year. And in times past, particularly even when the weather in those days was not all that great and conducive to putting in one's hand this thing called a golf club, we used to have some contests right after chapel about who on the faculty or the Council of Presidents could hit golf balls across the lake out there. But I understand the lake now is devoid of what makes it a lake. So I'm curious, who fetched the golf balls? If anybody knows, please see me after chapel. The text for today was read a few moments ago from Hebrews chapter 9, particularly verse 22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. We live in interesting times. Today, the world of entertainment is seemingly obsessed with blood. Movies and video game warnings about extreme violence and bloody scenes abound. It seems that in the eyes of some, the bloodier, the better. There's also been a recent surge in the promotion of blood-sucking vampires on television and the movies, particularly this past weekend, celebrated by more Americans as Halloween than as the Festival of the Reformation and All Saints' Day. On that front, things have evolved dramatically from the days of the mythical Count Dracula, produced, depending on what particular point of reference one wants to choose, either in 1897 or 1931. An article in USA Today last week titled "How Vampires Rose from Myth to Modern Obsession" reports how the imagery of blood has increased in the present days of Buffy and the new wave of vampiric teen idols. Listen to this report in that regard. Compared with the neck-biting ecstasies of Twilight and True Blood, the vampires of Hollywood's past are downright chaste. Not a drop of blood was shown in the original Dracula of 1931, and it wasn't until the Hammer Studio films of the 1950s that the screen flowed crimson. And just this week, somebody brought to my attention a CNN reporter's article titled "Dracula, the Undead," which tells of a sequel to the original Dracula. This version is, quote, "more overtly violent and sexy," quote closed, "than the original." As more and more viewers are drawn to the fascination of blood and blood-sucking vampires, the television and movie industry, which have had their financial woes, are in one sense being saved by the blood. On the other hand, with the often prevalent, immoral, non-mythical standards that are being promoted with this obsession of blood and bloodshed, nobody is being saved. Rather, the very life of people is being sucked from them. Such a sharp contrast to this bloodletting promotion by the world is offered by the hope-filled shedding of blood in our text, which is salvific in its very core. Under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Here, the blood obsession and bloodshed is life-promoting, life-giving, a standard established under Old Testament law with an eye to the blood that would be shed by the Lamb of God. A paragraph in the New Lutheran Study Bible offers a brief overview of the importance of blood in what it terms a blood covering in the Old Testament. It reads this way. When God rescued his chosen people from Egypt, he provided them a blood covering for their sin through a complex sacrificial system. The meaning of the sacrifice was not found in the animal's death alone. Instead, the animal's life was offered as an atonement before God through the blood. As the Lord explained to Moses in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. You think about that for just a moment. That is absolutely true. Think about a person who bleeds profusely in a way which is not stopped. What do we say? That person bled to death. The very life which is in the blood left his body lifeless. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. In perfect justice, atonement of sin demands a blood covering. The animal's blood was a substitute for the life of the person. So far, the words from Lutheran Study Bible. People were saved by the blood. The theme is consistent throughout the Old Testament. Listen to this verse, these verses, in regard to the Day of Atonement that attest to this truth. In Leviticus chapter 16, "Then Aaron shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring its blood inside the veil and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Then he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions, all their sins. And so he shall do for the tent of meeting, which dwells with them in the midst of their uncleanness, says. Then he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. And he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger. Seven times, and cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleannesses of the people of Israel. Yet, as you and I know, it is not the blood of beasts or of bulls by which we received our ultimate cleansing. These were simply a foreshadowing of the sacrifice that would save us all. For we are saved by the blood of Christ. This is the theme that unfolds in Hebrews chapter 9. We heard the words earlier in our reading, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. The blood of Jesus was shed for our salvation. He died as the propitiation for our sins. On the cross, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. His blood was poured out so that we might be saved. He is our sacrifice. As written in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all our sin. Through the blood of Christ, we receive the forgiveness of our sin. God looks at you and me because of the blood of Christ as people who are whole, who are holy in his sight, without mark or blemish or stain. While Hollywood-style blood-stained themes so often lead to lives of sin, sucking the life out of people, Jesus shed his blood to lead us to life through the forgiveness of sins. For wherever there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. So it is, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that with repentant hearts, and I can only speak for this heart and its repentance, you alone must speak for your heart and its repentance. But through our hearts, repentant of our sins, we come before the cross, receiving through word and through sacrament, as we will tomorrow in this time frame, receiving that special sacrament, the purification that Christ attained for us, a purification we could not obtain by our own works, but only by the grace and mercy and blood of our God. There was a time when in my own life I had the opportunity, I thought, to save another human being. A member of our congregation had a serious blood disorder. He was having a special platelet transfusion in a city about 100 miles away from where he and I lived, where our parish was. I made the trip down there to visit with him and to pray for him during that blood transfusion, which was to occur at the expense of a special friend of his whose blood type matched his. When I got there after the prayer, I discovered that, in fact, the planned transfusion was not going to happen because the donor had some kind of a health problem that prevented him from making that contribution. So I asked the question, in a humble, inquisitive way, what's required for a person to be eligible to provide this transfusion? I received the answer with respect to the special blood type, which happened to match my own. So I raised my hand and said, is there anything that would prevent me from being this donor? To make a long story short, that's what happened. And as I lay in this chair or table, and my dear friend Jim Bradley lay on the other one, our lives were connected by those tubes that drew blood from my veins and arteries, and through a very extensive process, transferred them into his. Jim died. Not that day. But my blood did not save Jim. The blood of Christ saved Jim, who's now in that great mansion, the heavenly mansions prepared for us before the foundation of the world by God himself through the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ gives life that we receive the gospel. In the sacrament of the altar, we receive the very body and blood of our Lord for the forgiveness of sins. This is the blood of the new covenant. We are saved by that blood. Indeed, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Thanks be to God that the very Son of God shed his blood for us, so that forgiveness and new life can abound within us. What a blessing it would be for the obsession with blood alive in our culture today to become an obsession with the blood of Christ. He is the Lamb slain to save us from our sin. The words of the hymn express it so beautifully. Our hope and our confidence in the forgiveness of sin, life and salvation through the blood of Christ. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in that great day, for who aught to my charge shall lay? Fully through these absolved I am from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. Lord, I believe thy precious blood, which at the mercy seat of God forever doth for sinners plead for me, e'en for my soul was shed. Jesus, be endless praise to thee, whose boundless mercy hath for me and all thy hands have made, an everlasting ransom paid. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.